The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
What's going on, everybody? This is End Time Headlines. It is Tuesday, January 25th, and it is a little bit after 2 o'clock Eastern time. And I want to welcome everybody to the broadcast today. If you are new to the broadcast and you're joining us from Facebook Live, we want to welcome you to the broadcast. And please let us know in the comment section below that you are new to the platform. If you're joining us from any other social media outlet that you may be on that you follow us with, whether it's on Rumble or YouTube or anywhere that you're able to comment and you're new, again, we want to hear from you. Let us know where you guys are joining us from. Guys, let's get after this thing today. The perfect storm is happening. The perfect storm is happening. If you thought for a second that 2022 was going to go back to any kind of normalcy, if it was going to look anything like normal, boy, have you got a wake-up call. We are 25 days into this thing, and we have got a trifecta perfect storm that's brewing that can get real messy and real quick. And that's what we want to talk about today. So having said that, I want to share with you, want to give you the latest on what's going on with a whole slew of things going on, with at least 3 major things. We could sit here and talk about 12 things, 15 things, but I want to give you, I want to give you 3 major events that are happening right now. Here's for all those that like a foundational scripture. Here you go. You've heard this many times. And the reason why I use this is because all 3 of these are mentioned right here in Matthew 24, verses 6 and 7. And you will hear wars and rumors of wars and see that you're not troubled, for all these things, and it's plural tense, must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. Again, what we're going to discuss today, we're seeing at least a trifecta of events, 3 major events that are occurring all at one time. Let's get after the first one. Russia, we know by the, I'm going to give you this headline. We posted this yesterday on endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Russia has deployed hundreds of packed military trains. This does not include the 100,000 plus troops that he's already massed on the Ukrainian border. This is recent. Again, the deployment of hundreds of packed military trains. Meanwhile, here in America, Biden has 8,500 troops ready, prepared to be deployed.
Developments as tensions mount over Russia's military buildup along Ukraine's border. Tonight, President Biden now putting 8,500 U.S. troops on, quote, heightened alert, ready for rapid deployment to potentially support NATO forces in Europe. Late today, the president holding a secure video call with European leaders. It lasted 1 hour, 20 minutes. The president a short time ago calling it a very good meeting with total unanimity with all of the European leaders. The White House tonight saying the leaders discussed preparations to impose, quote, massive consequences and severe economic costs if Russia moves.
And I'm going to show you, I'm going to read to you here that he could send up to 50,000 troops, U.S. troops. NATO, on the other hand, is reportedly sending warships and jets.
Now, NATO allies have put forces on standby and sent ships and fighter jets to bolster Europe's eastern defenses. And the European Union says it is ready to impose never-seen-before economic sanctions if Russia invades.
Russian forces are continuing to arrive for joint military drills from February 10th to the 20th amid U.S. and NATO alarm that they could be, in fact, used to carry out attacks on Ukraine from the north. The closing ceremony at the Winter Olympics is on February 20th. So it's interesting. I've also noticed that there is a lot of publications, blogs, talking points that somehow have connected. And I'm not saying this is going to happen. I'm just telling you what observation. They're connecting almost like they're connecting the Winter Olympics and that time frame to this alleged possible invasion of Russia to Ukraine. So it's interesting. Again, that's on the Olympics is on February 20th. So that's a time frame that we need to be watching and keeping our eye on. Anywhere between now and February 20th, it's going to get interesting. Putin and China, according to this report, have been here before. Russia's 2008 war with Georgia erupted on the day of the opening ceremony of the Beijing Summer Olympics. Again, just some food for thought. Days after Putin hosted the closing ceremony of the 2014 Winter Olympics, which he spent a record $50 billion $50 billion to stage the games, Russian forces began their operation to annex Crimea from Ukraine. The Pentagon announced Monday that the Biden administration is reportedly ordering at least 8,500 U.S.-based soldiers, troops, to stay on ready and be ready to be deployed to Eastern Europe. Quote, this is really about getting folks ready to go, according to the Defense Department during a press conference, and stated that the majority of the troops would be ground forces. He went on to say that they would stand ready in case NATO activities or in the event of a deteriorating security environment. Quote, there's not a mission per se. This is about, quote, wanting to get ahead of the potential activation and making sure these units have time to prepare. Meanwhile, NATO has responded with force as well, and is comprised of some 40,000 international troops across the land, air, maritime, and special operations forces. So again, land, air, and sea. The report said that the move was given sending a strong message that, quote, we're committed to NATO and we're committed to ensuring that our allies have the capabilities they need in case they need to defend themselves. He went on to stress the troops are currently on a, quote, heightened alert posture and have no plans to deploy at this time. The bulk of them would be dedicated to the NRF to be activated if called upon by the Western Defense Coalition, but added that Austin wants the 8,500 troops to be postured for, quote, any other contingencies as well. Now, so again, the report went on to say that if NATO does decide to activate the response force, the U.S. will contribute a range of military units. And by the way, just hours ago, I saw a report that said that Japan has now indicated that they will support the United States if a military operation does take place, or a quote unquote invasion by Russia. That Japan, again, that's breaking news, said that they will defend or come alongside in support of the United States. Now, so you got this brewing. You got that storm. You've got this storm brewing, which everybody's on edge. Wars, rumors of wars, nation against nation. And by the way, China has sent more warships into Taiwan airspace. So there's a lot of tensions there. You've got North Korea that keeps firing missiles off. You've got Iran and Israel, the circumstance going on there. We talked about this, what, last week, 2 weeks ago, when giving you a second chapter to a podcast that we talked about. It's really an update, to be honest with you. The storm, it's almost, if I had to describe this, it started out as an EF0 EF1, but now this thing has jumped up to an EF3. If we were to scale this on a tornado graph, why is that? Because now this has become much more serious than it was 2 weeks ago, a month ago. Now we have troops on standby. We have military units being sent in. NATO's getting involved. Japan has jumped in and got involved. Britain's gotten involved. France has gotten involved. China has made some notions, and we're still trying to see where they stand on this. I'm pretty sure we all know where that's going to be. There's a lot of interest for China and Russia and vice versa. And same way with some other countries in the Middle East. Don't think that they ain't in bed with one another. So you got all that going on. So this thing is just, it's continuing to brew and it's continuing to escalate. Then yesterday we reported on this. The fears of a quote super bubble bust continues yesterday, and it's continuing to rattle Wall Street as stocks continue to sell off. Let me just read this. I want to read this report. We report this. You can find a lot of this. All these reports we're giving, you can find these at endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com, our main website. A new report is asking a very serious question. Now, this is from Protocol, and we shared this information on our site. And it said, quote, are we in a bubble? Well, that's kind of a stupid question. Of course we are. Are we in a, quote, super bubble? Have you ever noticed it? This is interesting, too. Every year, everything gets worse. What was in 2018, the following year, and the year after that, and the year after that, it starts out as a virus, and then it becomes more severe and severe and more and more and more, and then they add these words to it. We no longer get typhoons, we get super typhoons. We don't get earthquakes anymore, we're getting megaquakes. We're not getting volcanoes anymore, we're getting volcano eruptions so large that it's causing atmospheric disturbances that were and so powerful.
Details this morning on that massive volcanic eruption near Tonga last weekend. Scientists now say the explosive force was 600 times as powerful as the nuclear bomb dropped on Hiroshima, Japan in World War II. They say it was likely one of the loudest events on the planet in the past 100 years. In fact, so powerful, it could be heard in Alaska.
So again, everything's going, it's being magnetized, it's increasing. Now, all this is doing to me anyway, and I believe it will resonate to you, all this is doing is putting a stamp of confirmation that we are indeed in the end times. Because again, Jesus refers to all these things. Earthquakes, pestilence, famines, wars, etc. He says they will be as birth pains. And you've heard me say this over and over again. Ask any woman that's ever given birth. Now listen, I've married to one that's gave birth twice. I understand the stages of birth, the trimesters. I understand it's the closer you get to the delivery, the more intensity comes and more often. Let me say it again, more intensity and more often. So we should not be surprised by these headlines. We shouldn't be surprised by these reports. We shouldn't be surprised by the quote unquote rumors. Is the stock market going to, is this bubble about to collapse? Pop, burst. Are we in a super bubble? Are we going to go to war? Are we on the verge of World War III? Are we going to see a greater virus than what we're dealing with now? Are we going to see this? Well, of course we are. The Bible says we are. But the question is, are we truly this close to entering into the tribulation? Because I've said before, the real heavy duty things that you and I have discussed on a larger scale will not take place until the tribulation. And I know some of y'all is going to give me some flack about this, but that's okay. I'm a big boy and I can handle the opinions because everybody's got one. And I've always stood on this and I always will. And if I'm wrong one day, that's okay. Because again, I will say this, I don't believe the Lord's ever going to rebuke me for warning the people to be prepared and be ready. But he, all through the Bible, he does say that he will rebuke me for not warning the people and not warning them to get ready. So it's my personal belief that the major stuff that we read about in the book of Revelation, from Revelation 5, 6, 7, 8, and on, is going to transpire after the church has been removed from the equation. Now, again, I will say it again. Don't get mad at me. This is just my opinion. You've got one too. I guarantee you, if we did a show of hands and you could have 1,000 people lined up and we ask every one of you your views on eschatology and the rapture and the timing of the rapture, and if there is a rapture, you're going to get all kinds of different views, and that's okay. But I'm just going to tell you, it's my personal belief that we, the ecclesia, will not be here because God has not appointed us unto wrath. So we are in a dispensation of grace. Now stop. Think about this. If we're in a dispensation of grace right now and we're seeing what we're seeing, imagine what it's going to be like when the age of the church age comes to a close and we are no longer in the dispensation of grace, and we who are restraining is removed and the lawless one is revealed. Can you imagine what it's going to be like? And some of you who think you're going to be some kind of a tribulation soldier, and trust me, I've gotten emails from you guys. I hope I missed the rapture. And if there is one, I don't want to go in it because I'm going to go through the rapture, brother, and I'm going to be a tribulation soldier for Christ. I'm going to resist the mark. I'm going to resist worshiping the image of the beast. I'm going to survive the hailstones. I'm going to survive the locusts. I'm going to survive the scorching sun. I'm going to survive all the hell that's going to break loose during the tribulation because I'm going to be a soldier of Christ. And it's funny because the same people, when I get to know a lot of these people, they can't even make it to church on a Sunday morning. They can't make it to a Bible study. I ask them, when was the last time they read the Bible? They can't remember. They can't remember the last thing that they read, verse, chapter, or the topic of it. They have the fire's gone out, but they're going to be a tribulation soldier, brother. Come on, get real. Come on, don't wait until the tribulation to get right and get on fire and to become zealous for the kingdom. Do it now. Jesus said, work while it is yet daylight, for night is coming in which no man worketh. Come on, that's good preaching, whether you want to hear it or not. Listen, let me get to this article. Are we in a bubble? Are we in a super bubble? Well, the stock market took a major blow yesterday. It's still happening today. It's still bleeding out. In fact, it was so bad yesterday. This is a quote from Yahoo News, or actually it's from Bloomberg. S&P 500 tumbles, listen to this, in the worst ever start through 16 days. The S&P 500 has dropped 11%, heading toward what could count as a correction so far this year. That's the most ever on record at this juncture. According to a report from Bloomberg data that goes back over 9 decades, though drawdowns have been faster in prior years before quick rebounds, most notably in 2009. The downturn comes as traders brace for the Federal Reserve to tighten monetary policy, and a surge in U.S. Treasury yields weighs on the outlook for stocks. And I'm just going to add this too. Don't think that there is not war jitters going through Wall Street and the stock market either. That plays a role as well. You know what? Notice what you didn't hear there, though. Have you noticed it? Oh, I don't even know if I want to talk about this because I don't want to get myself in trouble. Let me just say it like this. It's interesting. It's all of a sudden now we're not hearing as much about the prominent point of topic that has been touted for the last 2 to 3 years. It's starting to die down. That topic is starting to dwindle away. So now all of a sudden it's being replaced by the next crisis. And listen, you don't need, oh, I can't even, let me just say this one little thing. When you get a chance, go and research the Great Reset. That's all I'm going to say about that. Don't think that all this has caught people off guard and people are surprised and the big wigs and those that are pulling the strings are in shock. Everything is happening as planned and as orchestrated, and it's happening in their advantage to bring about what they have planned and that what they've had planned for years that's been circulated publicly. And you can research it, the Great Reset. And I'm going to talk more about that, not today, but on Friday. Let's talk about it on Friday. I'm going to talk about, listen, the feds are already working on a digital currency. They've been doing this for years, but they just made an announcement, and this is very interesting. We'll talk about that Friday. And we'll talk a little bit more about this as much as we can, possibly. Again, we want to keep these broadcasts going. Okay? But again, stock market jitters, cryptocurrencies crashing yesterday, Bitcoin and others. What's happening? There's an economic shaking. There's a shaking of the economy. We have a shaking with wars and rumors of wars and nation against nation and kingdom against kingdom. So you've got a storm over here brewing. You've got a storm over there brewing. And then I want to share this with you. Don't think for a minute that food shortages are going to start letting up. If you think you're just going to walk into your local grocery store next week and everything's going to be back to normal. I want to share this. Again, you guys know that we share a lot Michael Snyder's articles from his website, his blog site, and this one really caught my attention. I want to share this with you. A quote, a farming insider has warned me, and again, that's not me, that's Michael Snyder is the author of this. A farming insider has warned Michael Snyder that the coming food shortages, and again, we'll see, right? We'll see what happens. Coming food shortages are going to be far worse than what we're being told. Now, why is that? Well, of course, I'm not going to leave you hanging. I'm going to give you a little bit into this. I'm going to talk about this. According to Michael Snyder, he received an email from a farming insider that he has corresponded with over the years. Michael asked him if he could publicly share some of the information that they had in discussion privately. And of course, obviously he did, because we're sharing that with you today. According to this farming insider, dramatically increased costs for fertilizer will make it, quote, impossible for many farmers to provide plant corn this year.
The cost of nitrogen fertilizer is rising while the U.S. economy is taking hits. The high demand is driving food prices up, and farmers are worried about what the future holds for them. In today's video, we're going to discuss the increasing fertilizer prices. The North American fertilizer shortage has sparked fear for higher food prices. What could this mean for farmers? Let's find out. First up, farmers' expectations. It is unfortunate to say that nitrogen fertilizer is seeing a global shortage due to the high demand and the low supply. Due to the soaring prices, hardworking North American farmers are trying to delay the purchase of nitrogen fertilizer till the price goes down. In an effort to decrease their expenses and to reap a better profit, they will definitely raise the risk of scrambling to spray the nutrient-based fertilizer before planting season. Farmers apply nitrogen to increase overall crop yields. With the use of the nitrogen-based fertilizer, fertilizer, it boosts the amount of yield when it comes to corn, canola, wheat, which in turn means an overall greater yield of meat, poultry, mutton, and eggs, and bread. If the prices of fertilizer stay the same, it could mean that the price of meat, poultry, eggs, and bread will rise higher and higher. The prices of food worldwide have hit a 10-year high in October, and things aren't getting any better, according to the UN agency. The unstable economy isn't making things any better, paired with the increasing prices of cereals, fruits, and vegetable oil and crops. How did it get to this? Things haven't been so great in the U.S. as many natural disasters came out of nowhere and affected the country in terms of fertilizer production. The unexpected snowfall in Texas led to an Arctic blast in February. This was followed by Hurricane Ida, which served to be the second most destructive hurricane in U.S. history. Both natural disasters paired together made for a bad time in terms of food and fertilizer production, as fertilizer production was gravely affected. If you thought things couldn't get any worse for the agricultural sector, then you guessed wrong, as this was followed by a shortage of natural gas in Europe. Natural gas production and yield has been gravely shortened, and with the immense decrease in yield and supply, the demand has drastically gone up, which is correlated with a drastic increase in natural gas prices by weight. Taking all these factors into consideration, the price of urea went up significantly as well, as it has topped off at about $1,000 a ton. This is the first time that the price of urea has been driven so high and has been a major factor for causing nitrogen fertilizer prices to go up, according to the BMO Capital Markets. Russia and China have also curbed the exports of urea, which is used as a raw material for nitrogen fertilizer production.
The following is an excerpt of the email that he received from this individual. And I quote, "Things for 2022 are interesting and scary. Input costs for things like fertilizer, liquid nitrogen, and seeds are like triple and quadruple the old prices. It will not be profitable to plant this year." Let me say that again. It will not be profitable to plant this year. Why? Again, because the cost of fertilizer, liquid nitrogen, and seeds have tripled and quadrupled. Let me repeat, the economics will not work. Quote, "Our plan is to drop about 700 acres of corn off and convert to soybeans." Why? Because they use less fertilizer, and we also have chicken manure from that operation. Again, I'm still reading the email. Guess what? "We are not the only ones with these plans. Already there is a shortage of soybean seeds, so we will see how this will work out. The way I see it, there will be a major grain shortage later in the year." And by the way, we did a message, what, 4 weeks ago, on will we see a famine in 2022? We put this up on Rumble. We put this up on YouTube. And I believe it's here on Facebook, but YouTube blocked it, completely blocked it, citing copyrights. But it's still up on Rumble. Go check it out. It's very interesting. We talked about a little bit of this in that, or it's in the archives on our podcast, of course, on Apple, Spotify. To my knowledge, it's still up. Never got a notification that it was taken down. But please, that's why we always want to encourage you to find alternatives other than Facebook or YouTube or any of these big tech giants that are notorious for blacklisting, censoring, and shadow banning and removing stuff like this. Quote, let me read it again. "The way I see it, there will be a major grain shortage later in the year, especially with corn. I mean, we are small with that. What about these people in the Midwest who have like 10,000 acres of corn? This, quote, will not be good." Michael Snyder went on to say that once he received this message, he wrote back with some questions. In response, he expanded on his comments, and I want to give you that. Ready? Quote, "As for the farming, I see it getting bad. Things like fertilizer and liquid nitrogen have tripled or quadrupled in price. Yes, commodity prices are up, but that certainly won't cover the new increased input costs. We are in North Carolina, so while certainly not like the Midwest, we will still grow grain. The Midwest, of course, will have the same higher input cost as well." He went on to say that, quote, "Corn, for example, typically takes about 600 pounds of fertilizer per acre. plus 50 gallons of liquid nitrogen. Times that by many acres, and that is a lot of money. Quote, soybeans take much less. The plan for us and most others around here is to drastically cut corn acres and switch to soybeans. The problem is there's apparently a, quote, soybean seed shortage because others have this plan as well. So again, you can't rob from Peter to pay Paul. It's not going to happen. And that's what we keep doing. We're lucky enough to pre-buy enough to do it. However, the most people, especially younger farmers or farmers where that it is all they do, probably don't have the money to do this. Quote, the way I see it, a corn shortage will come. I guess there could possibly be a glut of soybeans, but remember, that could depend on the seed being available at all. Quote, I guess there are other alternatives, maybe milo, oats, or barley. Of course, the corn market is much higher. Think animal feed and ethanol. I mean, for animals, soybeans are used too, but it's a mix. What happens to the animal producers who depend on reasonably priced corn? So you don't think about this, guys, because so you may be listening and say, well, I don't eat corn, so that's going to affect me. But it's a domino ripple effect. It goes down the line. Don't think it won't affect you and I. I just don't see how it can end well. I mean, even if we end up with plenty of soybeans, even a glut, then you have a busted market for that. I don't know. There just isn't much history to base any of this on. I just see it hurting both grain farmers and animal farmers alike. Quote, and also translating to more shortages and price increases for consumers who buy the end products. Again, I want to remind you that corn is one of the foundational pillars of our food supply. In fact, if you go to a grocery store, pick up any product, a lot of these products, read through the ingredients on many of these, and you'll discover that corn is just in about everything in one form or another. So again, this is some very alarming stuff. And this is, again, I talked about this, the trifecta storm that's brewing. You've got the wars and rumors of wars. Then you've got the economic shakeup that's going to continue, guys, and it's going to be to the powers that be advantage. Don't think it's not. Oh, I could elaborate more on that, but again, do your own homework, do your research, you'll figure it out. We'll talk more about this Friday on what we can discuss on that. Then you have disasters that are looming, floods, hurricanes, earthquakes, famines, that's bringing about, and I will say pestilences and plagues. And the result of those things are causing, are wreaking havoc on farmers, grocery chains, retail, manufacturing, warehouses, and the list goes on. Shortages, supply shortages, all this, guys, has produced a trifecta of a perfect storm that's brewing, and I believe is absolutely biblical and prophetic. Because again, what does the Bible say? All these things must take place. They must happen. So the question that we have is, how are we going to respond to this? Do we cower in fear? Do we panic? Listen, I've always said we got to use wisdom. The Bible says a prudent man sees disaster coming and he prepares accordingly, but a fool will bury his head in the sand with the anticipation that it will just pass over and everything's going to be okay. Guys, we can't do that. We have to use wisdom. So pray, Find, open the Bible, go through the scriptures and see how men and women of God responded to disasters. How did they respond in the time of famine? How did they respond in economic shakeups and turmoils and stuff like this? The Word of God has the answers. It has the wisdom's there, the principles are there, the promises are there. We got to get in the book. The Bible says in Psalms chapter 1, blessed is the man, come on, who sits not in the seat of the scornful. And he doesn't gather wisdom from the ungodly. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and he meditates in the law of the Lord day and night. For he shall be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water, that shall bring forth its fruit in its season. And whatsoever he does, he shall prosper. But the wicked are not so, for they are like chaff that the wind picks up, because they have no foundation, they have no root in their system, they have no root system in the Word. They put all their trust in their riches and in their gold and in the stock market and in the economy and in politics and in a politician and in their government and the powers that be. They have put all their stock and trust in these powers and these entities and these things that are passing away. Heaven and earth is passing away, and the lust thereof. Therefore, what manner of men, what manner of person shall we be if we know that the end of all things is at hand? So here's how we prepare. We keep our lamps filled with oil. I'm going to keep preaching it and keep preaching it. Keep your lamps with oil, keep your wicks trimmed, and keep the fire burning. Because the midnight hour is coming, the Lord is coming, and he's looking for a bride without spot nor wrinkle nor blemish. Come on, that is waiting and watching for his return. You don't want to be caught off guard. You don't want to be caught sleeping. You don't want to be caught slumbering. You don't want to be caught in doubt and caught in unbelief and caught, come on, in the lust of this flesh and the lust of this world and the pride of life, so that when the master comes, he finds you, his servant, not watching and living a lifestyle that disqualifies him, come on, from the kingdom. Yes, I said it, disqualifies him from the kingdom. For many shall come to me on that day and say, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not cast out devils in your name? Did we not do many miracles in your name? And he'll say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. Guys, we can't, the days of playing games are over. We are living in trying times. We see a storm. The perfect storm is brewing. It's time to get our household saved. It's time to preach the gospel and let our light so shine among men, among our family members, among our employers, among those that we love and dear. It's time to begin to lift them up before God, begin to plead, cry out to the Lord, and ask that they shall be saved, that the God of this world, who has blinded their eyes, pray that God would lift that veil, their hearts would be pierced with the gospel of truth, and that they would come to the saving knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Guys, listen, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. That's going to be where you're going to find us. That's our landing page. That's you can subscribe to us right there to get a daily digest. Or better yet, don't forget to download the free app. It is absolutely available free. It's on Apple. It's on Android. Just go type in End Time Headlines. You're going to see our ETH logo right there on your screen. If you're watching, get the app into your hands. Right there in your hands, you're going to be notified of all of our podcasts, all of our latest news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. Everything will be right there, and it's free for you. And there's no charge to you. So we ask that you get that in your hands today. And don't forget to, again, get that app when you come. If you're watching live by Facebook, there's a link right there in the description. And it says, download our free app. There's a link. Just click on the link. It's simple. It takes you there, and you can click on the Apple or the Android, depending on what device you got, and you can get this app free. If you're listening by podcast, again, go to our main website. You're going to find places you can get it there, or you can go to directly your Play Store and find it there. As always, guys, we want to give you the opportunity, if this ministry has encouraged you, blessed you, informed you, equipped you, or all the above on a week-to-week basis, and you appreciate what we do and you support what we do, then we want to give you the opportunity to help partner with us so that we can continue to remain strong in 2022. Regardless of what happens, we will continue to broadcast, and we want to be that voice crying in the wilderness. So you can do that two different ways. You can give electronically through the app or through the main website, or you can give by check or money order. And you could do that by making it out to right there on the screen, End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia 30655. As always, guys, we thank you so much for hopping onto the broadcast today. Again, we're going to sign off for today. We're going to take tomorrow off. We're going to be back on here on Thursday and Friday. Thursday, I'm probably going to talk about, we want to give you an update on the metaverse. Facebook is up to some crazy stuff. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about more dangers now that have surfaced and discussions about metaverse. Why are we talking about this? Because this is where it's going. Then on Friday, I want to talk about, let's talk about the digital currency and where we could be heading if things go south with the U.S. dollar and the stock market and everything else. So we've got a lineup for you on Thursday and Friday. Again, we will be off tomorrow, so we won't be on here tomorrow. So until then, guys, may the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May his countenance be upon you in Jesus' name. God bless you, guys. We'll see you then.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.